royalty our ducal heartstrings touches. Allow me to present your new Grand Duchess. Should she offend, you graciously excuse her and kindly recollect I didn't choose her. At the outset, I may mention it's my sovereign intention to revive the classic memories of Athens at its best. For the company possesses all the necessary dresses, and a course of quiet cramming will supply us with the rest. We've a choir hypochromatic that is badly operatic, who respond to the coryute of that cultivated age. And our clever chorus master, all but captious critic caster, would accept us the choragus of the early Attic stage. This return to classic ages is considered in their wages, which are always calculated by the day or by the week. And I pay them if they'll back me, all in obolloi and drachmae, which they'll get if they prefer it at the calends that are Greek. At this juncture I may mention that this erudition sham is but classical pretension, the result of steady cram, periphrastic methods burning to this audience discerning. I admit this show of learning is the fruit of steady cram.
Periphrastic methods burning to this audience discerning. I admit this show of learning is the fruit of steady cram.
In the period Socratic, every dining room was attic, which suggests an architecture of a topsy-turvy kind. There they'd satisfy their thirst on a recherche called Aristotle, which is what they called their lunch, and so may you if you're inclined. As they gradually got on, they'd trapeze, proston, poton, which is attic for a steady and a conscientious drink. But they mixed their wine with water, which I'm sure they didn't order, and we modern Saxons know a trick worth two of that, I think. Then came rather risky dances under certain circumstances, which would shock that worthy gentleman, the licenser of place. Corybantian, maniacic, Dionysiac, or Bacchic, and the dithyrambic revels of those anti-chorus days. And perhaps I'd best mention, lest alarming you I am, that it is a doubt intention to perform a dithyram. It displays a lot of stocking, which is always very shocking, and of course I'm only mocking at the prevalence of cram.
It displays a lot of stocking, which is always very shocking, and of course I'm only mocking at the prevalence of cram.
Yes, on reconsideration, there are customs of that nation which are not in strict accordance with the habits of our day. And when I come to codify their rules, I mean to modify, or Mrs. Grundy perhaps may have a word or two to say. For they hadn't Macintoshes or umbrellas or galoshes, and a shower with their dresses must have played the very deuce. And it must have been unpleasing when they caught a fit of sneezing, for it seems a pocket handkerchief they didn't know the use. They wore little underclothing, scarcely anything or nothing, and their dress of Cohen silk was quite transparent in design. Well, in fact, in summer weather, something like the altogether, and it's there I rather fancy I shall have to draw the line. And again, I wish to mention that this erudition sham is but classical pretension, the result of steady cram. Yet my classic lord aggressive, if you'll pardon the possessive, is exceedingly impressive when you're passing an exam.
Yet his classic lord aggressive, if you'll pardon the possessive, is exceedingly impressive when you're passing an exam.
and his Julia mated. For when an obscure comedian, whom the law backs to sovereign rank, is promptly elevated, he takes it with its incidental drawbacks. So Julia and I are duly mated.
Take care of him. He's much too good to live with him. You must be very gentle. Poor fellow, he's so highly sensitive and also sentimental. Be sure you never let him sit up late in chilly open air conversing. For darling, he's extreme.
A deal of nursing.
And oh, remember this, when he is close with me, a flower and a kiss, a simple flower, a tender kiss, will bring. Butterscotch will work on him like magic. To contradict a character so rich in trusting love was simple blindness. He's one of those exalted
that everybody has gone and we are happily and comfortably married. I want to have a few words with my newborn husband.
Yes, I expect you'll often have a few words with your newborn husband. Well, what is it?
Why, I've been thinking that as you and I have to play our parts for life, it is most essential that we should come to a definite understanding as to how they shall be rendered. Now, I've been considering how I can make the most of the Grand Duchess.
Have you? Well, if you'll take my advice, you'll make a very fine part of it.
Why, that's quite my idea.
I shouldn't make it one of your hoity-toity vixenish viragos.
You think not?
Oh, I'm quite clear about that. I should make her tender, gentle, submissive, affectionate, but not too affectionate, child wife. Timidly anxious to coil herself into her husband's heart, but kept in check by an awestruck reverence for his exalted intellectual qualities and his majestic personal appearance.
Oh, that is your idea of a good part.
Yes, a wife who regards her husband slightly slightest wish as an inflexible law, and who ventures but rarely into his august presence, unless, which would happen seldom, he should summon her to appear before him. A crushed, despairing violet, whose blighted existence would culminate all too soon in a lonely and pathetic death scene. A fine part, my dear.
Yes, there's a good deal to be said for your view of it. Now, there are some actresses whom it would fit like a glove.
I wish I'd married one of them.
But you see, I must consider my temperament. For instance, my temperament would demand some strong scenes of justifiable jealousy.
Oh, there's no difficulty about that. You shall have them.
With a lovely but detested rival.
Oh, I'll provide the rival.
Whom I should stab, stab, stab.
Oh, I wouldn't stab her. It's been done to death. I should treat her with a silent and contemptuous disdain, and delicately withdraw from a position which to one of your sensitive nature would be absolutely untenable. Dear me, I can see you delicately withdrawing up, center, and off.
Can you?
Yes, it's a fine situation, and in your hands, full of quiet pathos.
Julia, come consider it from this dainty point of view. A timid, tender, feminine gender, dropped too coyly coo. Yet silent seeking, seldom speaking till she's spoken to. A comfy, cozy, rosy, posy, innocent as you know. The part you're suited to give the deuce her due. Oh, sweet, oh, jiminy, mimini, pimini, innocent as you know.
I'm much obliged to you, I don't think that would do.
To say, oh, Jiminy, 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 innocent as you know.
You forget my special magic in a high dramatic sense lies in situations tragic, undeniably intense. As I've justified promotion in the histrionic art, I submit to you my notion of a first-rate
let us see your notion of a first-rate heart.
I have a rival. Frenzy thrilled, I find you both together. My heart stands still, with horror chilled, hard as the millstone nether. Then softly, slyly, snaily, snaky, crawly, creepy, quaily, quaky, I track her on her homeward way as panther tracks her fated prey. I fly at her soft white throat, the lily-white laughing leman. On her agonized gaze I gloat with the glee of a dancing demon. My rival she, I have no doubt of her, so I hold on till the breath is out of her, till the breath is out of her. And then, remorse, remorse, oh cold, unpleasant course of haunt, of vaunt, that lifeless form I gaze upon, that face still warm but weirdly wan, those eyes of glass I contemplate, and then, alas, too late, too late, I find she is your aunt. Remorse, remorse, then mad, 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 with fancy's wild chimerical, now sorrowful, silent, sad, now hullabaloo, hysterical. But whether I'm sad or whether I'm glad, mad, 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 mad. This calls for the resources of a high-class art, and satisfies my notion of a first-rate heart, and satisfies my notion of a first-rate heart.
explode. Your misery and tribulation when I'm there, to whom this sight unbearable is owed. For whatever may be due, I'll pay it double. There'll be terror indescribable and trouble with a holy money and a hubble bubble. I'll pay you for this petty episode.
For whatever may be due, should pay it double. It's very good of her to take the trouble, but we don't know what she means by hubble bubble. Though that is an expression I have
moved. Do you know who I am?
I don't. Your countenance I can't fix, my dear.
And this proves I'm not a sham.
It won't. It only says Clerkenfeld 6, my dear.
Express your grief profound.
My sharpest tone I never allow, my love.
Rudolph at once produce.
I can't. He isn't at home just now, my love.
He isn't at home just now.
He isn't at home just now. He
But bless my heart and soul and life, it's an impudence personified. I've come here to be matrimonially matrimonified.
For any disappointment, I am sorry unaffectedly. But yesterday that nobleman expired quite unexpectedly.
This is most unexpected. He was well enough at 11:30 yesterday.
Yes, he died at 11:45.
Bless me, how very sudden.
It was sudden.
But what in the world am I to do? I was to have been married to him today.
For any disappointment, we are sorry unaffectedly. And yesterday the nobleman expired unexpectedly. Told the riddle.
Morning or a fancy ball?
Well, it's a delicate combination of both effects. It is intended to express inconsolable grief for the decease of the late Duke and ebullient joy at the accession of his successor. I am his successor. Permit me to present you to my Grand Duchess.
Your Grand Duchess? Oh, Your Highness.
Old frump.
A recent creation, probably.
We were married only half an hour ago.
Exactly. I thought she seemed new to the position.
Mom, I don't know who you are, but I flatter myself I can do justice to any part on the very shortest notice.
My dear, under the circumstances, you are doing admirably, and you'll improve with practice. It's so difficult to be a lady when one isn't born to it.
Am I to stand this? Am I not to be allowed to pull her to pieces?
No, no, it isn't Greek. Be a Violet, I beg.
And now tell me all about this distressing circumstance. How did the Grand Duke die?
He perished nobly in a statutory duel.
In a statutory duel? But that's only a civil death. And the act expires tonight, and then he will come to life again.
Well, no. Anxious to inaugurate my reign by conferring some inestimable boon on my people, I signalized this occasion by reviving the law for another 100 years.
For another 100 years? Then set the merry joy bells ringing. Let festive epithalamia resound through these ancient halls. Cut the satisfying sandwich. Broach the exhilarating masala. And let us rejoice today if we never rejoice again.
But I don't think I quite understand. We have already rejoiced a good deal.
Happy man, you little wreck of the extent of the good things you are in for. When you killed Rudolph, you adopted all his overwhelming responsibilities. Know then that I, Caroline von Krakenfeld, am the most overwhelming of them all.
But stop, stop. I've just been married to somebody else.
Yes, ma'am, to somebody else, ma'am. Do you understand? Ma'am, to somebody else.
Do keep this young woman quiet. She fidgets me.
Fidgets you?
Be a violet, a crushed, despairing violet.
Do you suppose I intend to give up a magnificent part without a struggle?
My good girl, she has the law on her side. Let us both bear this calamity with resignation. If you must struggle, go away and struggle in the seclusion of your chamber.
Now away to the wedding we go, so then summon the charioteers. No kind of reluctance we show to embark on our marriage careers. For Julia's emotion may flow in the form of impetuous tears. To our wedding we'll eagerly go, so summon the charioteers.
tomorrow the sun may be shining. Tomorrow be kind, tomorrow to me, with loyalty blind, I curtsy to thee. Tomorrow be kind, tomorrow to me, with loyalty.
Any longer. At any risk, I must gratify my urgent desire to know what is going on. Why? What's that? Surely I see a wedding procession winding down the hill, dressed in my Troilus and Cressida costumes. That's Ludwig's doing. I see how it is. He found the time hang heavy on his hands and is amusing himself by getting married to Lisa. No, it can't be to Lisa, for here she is.
I really cannot stand seeing my Ludwig married twice in one day to somebody else.
Lisa! Come here!
No.
Don't be a little fool!
No.
I want you! Why, what's the matter with the little donkey? One would think she saw a ghost. But if he's not marrying Lisa, whom is he marrying? Julia! I see it all! The scoundrel! He had to adopt all my responsibilities, and he's shabbily taken advantage of the situation to marry the girl I'm engaged to. But no, it can't be Julia, for here she is.
I've made up my mind. I won't stand it. I'll send in my notice at once.
Julia! Oh, what a relief!
No!
Then you've not married Ludwig. You're still true to me.
No!
Don't run away! Listen to me! Are you all crazy?
What would you with me, Spectre? Oh, ain't his eyes sepulchral, and ain't his voice hollow? What are you doing out of your tomb at this time of day, apparition?
I do wish I could make you girls understand that I'm only technically dead, and that physically I'm as much alive as ever I was in my life.
Oh, but it's an awful thing to be haunted by a technical bogey.
You won't be haunted much longer. The law must be on its last legs, and in a few hours I shall come to life again, resume all my social and civil functions, and claim my darling as my blushing bride.
Oh, then you haven't heard.
My love, I've heard nothing. How could I? There are no daily papers where I come from.
Why, Ludwig challenged Rudolf and won, and now he's Grand Duke, and he's revived the law for another century.
What? But you're not serious. You're only joking.
My good sir, I'm a light-hearted girl, but I don't chaff bogies.
Well, that's the meanest dodge I ever heard of.
Shabby trick, I call it.
But you don't mean to say that you're going to cry off.
I really can't afford to wait until your time is up. You know, I've always set my face against long engagements.
Then defy the law and marry me now. We will fly to your native country, and I'll play broken English in London as you play broken German here.
No, these legal technicalities cannot be defied. Situated as you are, you have no power to make me your wife. At best, you could only make me your widow.
Then be my widow, my little dainty, winning, winsome widow.
Now what would be the good of that? Why, you goose, I should marry again within a month.
The light of that lingering ember has faded in gloom. You cannot neglect to remember a voice from the tomb. That stern supernatural diction should act as a solemn restriction, although by a mere legal fiction, a voice from the tomb. A voice from the tomb.
utterance chills me, it withers my bloom. With awful emotion it thrills me, that voice from the tomb. O spectre, won't anything lay thee, though pain to deny or gainsay thee? In this case I cannot obey thee, no voice from the tomb. No voice from the tomb.
No voice from the tomb. From the
center of calling, I bid you good day. Perhaps you'll be calling when passing this way. The bargain of scorning and order of money. I bid you good morning, I bid you good day. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good day.
Fate is appalling and full of dismay. To pay for this warning, I give you fair warning. I'll haunt you each morning, each night, and each day. I'll haunt you morning, night, and day.
Fate is appalling, I bid you good day. To pay for this warning, I give you fair warning.
In which is situate his principality. But as he guesses by some odd fatality, this is the shop for cut and dried formality. Let him appear. Find that we're remarkable for cut and dried formality.
I have a plan. I'll tell you all the plot. He wants formality.
He shall have a lot of it.
Conceal yourselves. And when I give the cue, spring out on him. You all know what to do.
Thank you. magnificent array. Our own clothes are much gloomier in costumes which we've hired by the day from a very well-known costumier.
I am the very, very known costumier.
A brilliant star for printmaker show. It's a rule that never varies. So we've engaged from the theatre Monaco six supernumeraries.
We're the supernumeraries at the salary immense, quite regardless of expense. Six supernumeraries, six supernumeraries.
Break our grammar's laws, and their language is lamentable, and they never take off their gloves because their nails are not presentable.
Our nails are not presentable.
To account for these shortcomings manifest, we explain in whisper baited, they're wealthy members of the brewing interest.
To the peerage elevated. They are very, very rich, and accordingly a stitch to the peerage elevated.
Well, my dear, here we are at last, just in time to compel Duke Rudolph to fulfill the terms of his marriage contract. Another hour and we should have been too late.
Yes, Papa. And if you hadn't fortunately discovered a means of making an income by honest industry, we should never have got here at all.
Very true. Confined for the last 2 years within the precincts of my palace by an obdurate bootmaker who held a warrant for my arrest, I devoted my enforced leisure to a study of the doctrine of chances, mainly with the view of ascertaining whether there was the remotest chance of my ever going out for a walk again. And this led to the discovery of a singularly fascinating little round game, which I have called roulette, and by which in one sitting I won no less than 5,000 francs. And my first act was to pay my bootmaker, my second to engage a good, useful working set of second-hand nobles, and my third to hurry you off to Finnig, help Finnig, as fast as a trad of looks could carry us.
Yes, and a pretty job lot of second-hand nobles you scraped together.
Pretty, you think? I don't know. I should say tol-lol, my love, only tol-lol. They are not wholly satisfactory. There is a certain air of unreality about them. They are not convincing.
But, my good friend, what can you expect for 18 pence a day?
Now, take this peer, for instance. What the deuce do you call him?
Him? Oh, he's a swell. He's the Duke of Riviera.
Oh, he's a duke, is he? Well, that's no reason why he should look so confoundedly haughty. Be affable, sir. That's better. Now, who's this with his moustache coming off?
Why, you're Viscount Mentone, ain't you?
Blessed if I know. It's wrote here. Yes, Viscount Mentone.
Then why don't you say so? Hold yourself up. You ain't carrying sandwich boards now.
Now, once and for all, you peers, when His Highness arrives, don't stand like sticks, but appear to take an intelligent and sympathetic interest in what is going on. You needn't say anything, but let your gestures be in accordance with the spirit of the conversation. Now, take the word from me. Affability.
Oh, yeah.
Submission. Surprise?
Shame.
Grief.
Joy.
That's better. You can do it if you like.
But, Papa, where in the world is the court? There is positively no one here to receive us. I can't help feeling that Rudolph wants to get out of it because I'm poor. He's a miserly little wretch. That's what he is.
Well, I shouldn't go so far as to say that. I should rather describe him as an enthusiastic collector of coins of the realm. And we must not be too hard upon a numismatist. If he feels a certain disinclination to part with some of his really very valuable specimens, it's a pretty hobby. I've often thought I should like to collect some coins myself.
Papa, I'm sure there's someone behind that curtain. I saw it move.
Then no doubt they're coming. Now, mind you, Piers, haughty affability, combined with a sense of what is due to your exalted ranks, or I'll fine you half a franc each. Upon my soul, I will.
Of that. That's our official ceremonial for the reception of visitors of the very highest distinction.
It's very quaint. Very curious indeed. Prettily footed, too.
Would you like to see how we say goodbye to visitors of distinction? That ceremony is also performed with the foot.
Really, this tone. Ah, but perhaps you have not completely grasped the situation.
Not altogether.
Ah, then I'll give you a lead over. I am the father of the Princess of Monte Carlo. Doesn't that convey any idea to the Grand Ducal mind?
Nothing definite.
Very odd. Never mind. Try again. This is the daughter of the Prince of Monte Carlo. Do you take?
No, not yet. Go on. Don't give it up. I dare say it will come presently.
Very odd. Never mind. Try again. 20 years ago... Little Doddle Doddle, two little Doddle Doddles. Happy father, hers and yours. Proud mother, yours and hers. Ah, and now you take. I see you do.
Nothing is more annoying than to feel that you're not equal to the intellectual pressure of the conversation. I wish he'd say something intelligible.
You didn't expect me.
No. No! I grasped that. Thank you very much. No, I did not expect you.
I thought not. But, ha ha, at last I have escaped from my enforced restraint. No, you misunderstand me. I mean I've paid my debts. And how do you think I did it? Through the medium of roulette.
Roulette?
Now you're getting obscure again. The lucid interval has expired.
I'll explain. It's an invention of my own, the simplest thing in the world. And what is most remarkable, it comes just in time to supply a distinct and long-felt want. I'll tell you all about it.
Take my advice, when deep in debt, set up a bank and play roulette. At once distrust you surely lull, and rook the pigeon and the gull. The bird will stake his every franc in wild attempt to break the bank. But you may stake your life and limb, the bank will end by breaking him. Allons encore, garçon vieux, de bon louis d'or et bon charrette. Oula, 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 oula. Allons la classe, le temps se passe, le bon se casse. Rien ne va plus. Le 17 mois, la paire est manque. Hola, hola, vive la banque. For every time the board you spin, the bank is bound to win.
For every time the board you spin, the bank is bound to win.
A cosmic game is this roulette. The little ball's a true coquette. A maiden coy whom numbers woo, whom 36 suitors sue. Of all complexions to good lack, for some are red and some are black. And some must be extremely green, for half of them are not 19. Allons au corps, garçon viège, pour nous inore, pour une charrette. Hola, 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 hola. Mais faites vos jeux, là dans la poule, ça roule, de temps en coule. Rien ne va plus. Le dross à couche, un père et passe. Très bien, huit étions de la classe. The moral safe when you begin, the bank is bound to win.
The moral safe when you begin, the bank is bound to win.
The little ball's a flirting bread. She flirts with black, she flirts with red. From this to that she hops about, then back to this as if in doubt. To call her thoughtless were unkind. The child is making up her mind. For all the world like all the rest, which prétendant will pay the best. Allons encore, casse billette, pour une heure et pour une charrette. Hola, 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 hola. Faites fi, on t'a déjà dit, gagne aujourd'hui. Rien ne va plus. Tra-la-la-la, le tout visir. Vous perdez tout men over here. Where at last the ball pops in, the bank is bound to win.
Where at last the ball pops in, the bank is bound.
Capital game. Haven't a penny left.
A pretty toy, isn't it? Have another turn?
Thanks, no. I should only be robbing you.
Do, dearest, it's such fun. But, my darling, I'm afraid that even now you don't quite realize who I am.
Why, you forward little hussy! How dare you!
You mustn't do that, my dear. Never in the presence of the Grand Duchess, I beg.
He's got a Grand Duchess.
A Grand Duchess? My good girl, I've got three Grand Duchesses.
Well, I'm sure. Papa, let's go away. This is not a respectable court.
All these Grand Dukes have their little fancies, my love. This potentate appears to be collecting wives. It's a pretty hobby. I should like to collect a few myself. This is a charming specimen.
Mm.
An antique, I should say, of the early Merovingian period, if I'm not mistaken. And here's another. A Scotch lady, I think. And a little one thrown in. Two half-quarterns and a make-weight. Have you such a thing as a catalogue of the museum?
But I cannot permit Rudolph to keep a museum.
Rudolph? Get along with you. I'm not Rudolph. Rudolph died yesterday.
What?
Quite suddenly, cardiac affection.
Of a cardiac affection?
Yes, a pack of cardiac affection. He fought a statutory duel with me and lost. And I took over all his engagements, including this imperfectly preserved old lady to whom he has been engaged for the last 3 weeks.
3 weeks? But I've been engaged to him for the last 20 years.
20 years?
It's all right, my love. They can't get over that. He's yours. Take him and hold him as tight as you can.
My own.
Here's another. The fourth in 24 hours. Would anybody else like to marry me? You, ma'am? Or you? Anybody. I'm getting used to it.
But let me tell you, ma'am. Here's another. Poor ladies. I'm very sorry for you all, but you see, I've a prior claim. Come, away we go. There's not a moment to be lost.
Hurrah, 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 hurrah. Now away into the world we go, so some of the chariot is. The cry of every dance will show to the bottom of the magister is. Forbear, forbear, forbear. This may not be frustrated, are your plans? With paramount decree, the law forbids the bans, the law forbids the bans.
My life to shatter, oh, my little store of gold and silver, recklessly you scatter, oh, you guzzle and you gormandize all day with cup and platter, oh, and eat my food and drink my wine, especially the latter, oh. Compared with other crimes for which your head I'll batter, oh, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty scarcely seems to matter, oh. The first thing is all the matter which you went to go, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty scarcely seems to matter, oh. My dainty bride, my bride-elect, you wheedle and you flatter, oh, with coarse and clumsy compliment, her senses you bespatter, oh, you fascinate her tough old heart with vain and vulgar batter, oh, although the deuce confound you, you're unworthy to look at her, oh. Paired with deeds that drive me mad as hatter, oh, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty scarcely seems to matter, oh. For, oh, you vulgar vagabond, you fount of idle chatter, oh, you've done a deed on which I vow you won't get any fatter, oh, you fancy you've revived the law, mere empty brag and chatter, oh, you can't, you shan't, you don't, you won't, you sing a rag and tatter, oh. You'll suffer agonies like rat in clutch of ratter, oh, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty's quite another matter, oh. For this is all the agonies like rat in clutch of ratter, oh, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty's quite another matter, oh.
My good sir, it's no use your saying that I can't revive the law in face of the fact that I have revived it.
You didn't revive it. You couldn't revive it. You're an impostor, sir. A tuppenny rogue, sir. You never were, and in all human probability never will be, Grand Duke of Plenish anything.
What?
Never, never, never. Oh, my internal economy.
That's absurd, you know. I fought the Grand Duke. He drew a king, and I drew an ace. He perished in inconceivable agonies on the spot. Now, as that's settled, we'll go on with the wedding.
It isn't settled. You can't. Tell him. I can't.
Well, the fact is, there's been a little mistake here. On reference to the act that regulates statutory duels, I find it is expressly laid down that the ace shall count invariably as lowest.
As lowest. So you're the goest. Oh, what is the matter with me inside here?
Well, Julia, as it seems that the law hasn't been revived, and as, consequently, I shall come to life in about 3 minutes...
My objection falls to the ground. Very well.
Ah.
And am I to understand that all this time I've been a dead man without knowing it?
And that I married a dead man without knowing it?
And that I was on the point of marrying a dead man without knowing it? Oh, my love, what a narrow escape I've had.
Oh, you are the Princess of Monte Carlo, and you've turned up just in time. Mm.
Oh, well, you're an attractive little girl, you know, but you're as poor as a rat.
That's all very well, but what is to become of me if you're a dead man?
But I'm not. Time's up. The act has expired. I've come to life. The parson is still in attendance, and we'll all be married directly.